Okay, let's just give some background. In the first instance, a minor for all purposes of the law, equal to every other aspect in our society, is a person under the age of 18. Now, that is the general rule. But then again, it is generally recognized that children lack both the intellectual maturity and self-control necessary to be held criminally or delictually responsible for the wrongdoing. And therefore, the Child Justice Act differentiate between various categories. Now, although legal systems vary in their ideas of what age criminal responsibility ought to begin, children are generally not punished to the full extent of the law until they have passed what is known as the puberty age. Now, indeed, most legal systems traditionally exempted very young children from punishment entirely, and the same is applicable in South Africa. So, over here, at common law, it was the age of 7 years of age, and subsequently that had been amended to the age of 10 years of age. So, in short, children under the age of 10 are now considered explicitly immune against any form of prosecution. Between the age of 10 and 14 years of age, there is a presumption that still in place, meaning that the state must prove that that child has the necessary criminal capacity. Otherwise, the child cannot be held accountable. But the presumption and the onus is therefore on the state to prove such criminal capacity. And then there's those children are 14 years of age and older. Now, once a child has reached the age of 14 years, there were no presumptions to assist him in our law in the past. Currently, the law says that once you are at the age of 14, there is the presumption that you can be held accountable, but the onus is then on the defense to prove the contrary. So if the defense can raise a lawful defense like any other person in law, that's one thing. That is a proper defense against any form of criminal activity. But also, before we even get to that stage, the defense can raise criminal capacity and say my client or the child does not have the necessary criminal capacity. Then there will be a preliminary investigation. There will be reports by psychiatrists, experts, social workers, and so on. And only once that is determined whether the child understands the difference between right and wrong and can act accordingly, will that child be held accountable. But even then, it is a simple truth that our substantive law currently, the Act, the Child Justice Act specifically, envisages that diversion for such children should be the alternative to prosecution. Now, what is meant by diversion is mechanisms that are in fact available to young offenders right up until the age of 21 and sometimes even older than that, that they will be used more sparingly in our courtrooms. In other words, we will try to avoid full-on prosecution of the law and see whether we could have alternatives to facing the law and the full consequences of the law. That is, in short, basically a summary of what our current substantive law says.
Looking then at, let's say, some broad examples of what we see happening perhaps here in Cape Town on the Cape Flats, where gangsters in particular make use of young kids. And it's amazing how these criminal enterprises understand and know the law at times better than the rest of us. But to make use of young kids under the age of 10 or under the age of 12, essentially to go and commit crimes that ordinarily adults in the past would have done, but because of the legal consequences or the lack thereof for children, they then send these young kids to commit the crime. The broader question around that is, what does justice then look like for the victims of crimes perpetrated by kids who fall in the category of being immune?
In my personal opinion, I totally agree with those sentiments raised. It is true. It cannot be disputed that adults and maybe even hardened criminals make use of very young children to commit the crimes because they know there will not be any consequences for those children once they get caught. So that is a reality of life. And unfortunately, whether we like it or not, and I totally agree with you, it's unfair towards the victim and maybe even seen as unconstitutional towards victims and people that end up on the receiving end of crime. But the fact of the matter is, our current law, whether we like it or not, and I repeat this make no mistake, it's not my personal opinion. This is the law, says that they will get away with it, those children. The adults, on the other hand, if the state can prove that they were behind this, that they were orchestrating it, so to speak, or even that they also participated in the crime itself, then obviously the law will, they will face the consequences of the law themselves as well, because then they can also be charged as co-accomplices and so on, instigators and so on. So there are possible avenues to pursue, but these people are very clever. In many instances, they are so protected against prosecution, because what you see is not what what is in front of you. Yeah. They do it behind closed doors, and there are always all these hurdles to overcome before you can get to the real perpetrators.
In a broader sense, then, is there any room, or does our law explicitly outline possibilities for parents to be held responsible for the crimes committed by their kids? Or would the same standard apply that you've just outlined now in terms of investigating their possible involvement or the involvement of the parents first before that determination is made?
I saw in recent publications a lot of articles stating that parents have to face the consequences for their children under these circumstances. That's absolute nonsense. There's no such thing in our law that the parent must stand trial on behalf of the child. That is not true. But what is true is if there is a parent that actually manipulates the child or use the child as an instrument in the commission of a crime, then obviously that's something different. And then the law says, listen, we have to then also charge that child's parents, because the person that instigated or was ultimately responsible for the conduct of the child is actually the parent, in which event the court will then intervene and prosecute that child. That is the one side of it. But remember, there's also the civil side of a law, meaning that if a child commits some kind of delict that has financial consequences to a victim or to somebody else, a third party, then that third party can obviously sue a delictual in a civil matter for damages the child, and by child I also then suggest that the parents, because they are in loco parentis, in other words they are in charge of the child's finances and estate, and one way or another the parents can then be held accountable financially, but not on a criminal side.
In your view, is the perhaps room, scope, opportunity, or need for that matter, for us to relook at legislation that speak to this particular example on the notion of what justice essentially looks like for victims of perpetrators who perhaps fall in the categories of being immune?
Yeah, I do agree. It's high time that we maybe relook at the whole system regarding juvenile justice and juvenile delinquents. But that being said, I get the impression, if I look from an academic point of view, unfortunately I'm on both academic and the practice side of these things, from an academic point of view, there is even a more hardened drive to up the age of criminal capacity for children, to the age of even 12, 14, 16 years of age and older. In other words, unlike popular belief, and what me and you may be suggesting to protect victims, there's a hard drive to even make it more difficult to prosecute children going forward in our country currently. So the contrary is actually true.